International, the leader in protecting the freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. On Saturday, May 2nd, join the Reading chapter for their 21st annual banquet to raise funds so the vital work of protecting our hunting heritage and educating youth can continue. Beginning at 5 p.m. at the Wind River Event Center, join a fun-packed evening with games, auctions, drawings, lots of guns, and your choice of a tri-tip or chicken dinner. Safari Club International of Reading is currently planning hunts regionally and for African game, and you can find out about these and all the activities of SCI and have a great time Saturday, May 2nd. For tickets, visit scireading.org or call 530-524-3252. That number again, 524-3252. The 21st annual fundraising banquet for the Reading Regional Chapter of Safari Club International. Tickets, 524-3252.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are Americans.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again. You're listening to KCNR 1460. You can go to KCNR1460.com and get on the chat room, and we highly recommend that you do. Or during the show at any time, you can call 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Let's see. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer and soundboard operator and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark and Linda.
Good morning.
Very good. Today is Sunday, April 19th. We are battle-scarred and war-weary from the tax season. So we're kind of in slow motion mode today, but it's going to pick up the pace here pretty soon, I believe. We should be having our first guest here pretty soon. His name is Gerald Celente of Trends Journal. And, I've been trying to get him on the show for about 4 or 5 years. So let's hope that that connection happens here. Famous guy across the nation as far as his trends. He does the trendsresearch.com, and he's been involved in trends since 1985, made some spot-on predictions on some of the economic things like the the big crisis in 08 and so forth, and other things as well. So hopefully we'll have him on here pretty soon. In the meantime, we want to get rid of our housekeeping here. Have you got any veterans events?
Well, I do. I just want to let people know, we have cool April nights coming this week and this weekend. We have the cruise on Friday night. And Missing in America Project and us will be out there in front of Tobacco and Brew selling hamburgers and hot dogs and chili to help support Missing in America Project. And if I'm correct, we are also going back to Arlington this year. So we're trying to raise funds for that. Right now, I believe we have 5 veterans we're taking back to Arlington. Looks like at the beginning of September.
Very good. It also looks like we have a big event coming down to the Reading Tea Party here on Monday. That would be tomorrow, April 20th. And if you want to come down and learn more about the State of Jefferson movement, we will encourage you to do that. Mark Baird will be the featured speaker, and he's going to be talking about the water issues and, the law and morality. And I think they're also going to be maybe addressing some of this new group that's coming up about, oh, geez, let's leave it California. I don't remember what their name are. It's, you know, I swear it doesn't matter what you'd be doing, but somebody's got to stand up, you know.
Yep, it's time.
It's unbelievable.
It's never ending.
The mentality down there. Just because, I mean, good grief. Is everybody happy with the way California's going right now? And if you are, I'm pretty sure you're probably not paying attention. We're about ready to implode fiscally. You know, we got a drought going of epic proportions, and a lot of that has been made by the government's mismanagement of things. There could be systems in place besides the dams and other things that could really help it. You know, we could be building cisterns of, you know, there's a lot of things that could alleviate this situation, but through lack of foresight or whatever, or just lack of wasting the water. You know, they're dumping it out down in the Delta into the ocean quicker than they are recapturing it because of the Delta smelt, things like that. I guess smelt are more important than people, and that seems to be the case with a lot of these. But it's really not the case. What's really the case is it's a government takeover of our rights, and that's the thing to really pay attention to here, because I don't think these people at the top give a hoot about the Delta smelt or any of the animals for that matter. What they give about is controlling every aspect of our lives because we're too stupid to take care of ourselves. So anyway.
We don't know anything.
Yeah, with that, there's a couple of big things going on in Oregon with the Bureau of Land Management attempting to force some miners off their land. You can't make this stuff up. You know, there's some of the headlines we might hit today. ISIS has got a camp a few miles from Texas. Mexican authorities have confirmed. Now, I don't know how you can believe Mexican authorities about anything, but this comes from Judicial Watch, who I trust a lot with their reporting. So how are we doing on our guest? Have we?
We're trying to contact him. I don't know for sure if we were to call him or he was going to call in. Bob's working on it right now. So
with that, I mean, let's talk a little bit about some of the headlines here while we're waiting on our guest. We could always run that clip. I don't want to start that until we get there. Maybe that's our guy there. But
No, I think it's somebody
else. No, it's not. Anyway,
the phones have been going crazy, I guess, this morning. So we're working it.
So talking about this ISIS camp that was reported a few miles from the Mexican border. You know, I mean, the exact location where the terrorist group has established its base is around 8 miles from the U.S. border in an area known as Anapra, situated just southwest of Juarez in the Mexican state of Chihuahua. Another ISIS cell is west of Juarez in Puerto Palomas, and it targets the New Mexico towns of Columbus. Now, the problem I have with all this stuff is you can't believe anything anymore. That's the problem. There's no truth in the media anymore, and who knows if this is actually accurate or not, being reported to us by the Mexican government, you know, who would never deceive us. The Mexican cartels and our government down there, just this last week, the scandal of, you know, they're paying for prostitutions for the DEA guys. It's like, gosh, where does it end?
Yeah, and it's hard to, you know what is the truth and not. Even when you research it out, it's hard to tell exactly what's going on.
Yeah, so
you know, it's hard to find out what's going on in our own backyard, let alone across the seas.
But
you know?
I feel pretty comfortable with Judicial Watch reporting this. They've been spot on pretty much everything. And according to these same sources, coyotes engaged in human smuggling and working for the Juarez cartel helped move ISIS terrorists through the desert and across the border between Santa Teresa and Sunland Park, New Mexico, to the east of El Paso and Juarez. Cartel-backed coyotes were also smuggling IRS terrorists through the porous borders between Ocala and Fort Hancock, Texas. These specific areas were targeted for exploitation by ISIS because of their understaffed municipal and county police forces and the relative safe havens the areas provide for the unchecked large-scale drug smuggling and so forth. So that should concern everybody. And I think we've got our guest on the line.
I think we might.
Do we have him, Bob?
Okay, yes, I kept having to...
try to free up our line because we had local people calling in. We do have Gary on line one who wants to make a comment right quick.
Well, make it quick. Otherwise, what I would say is call back because we've been wanting to get Mr.
That's fine. Go with your guest. I'll call back later.
Yeah, call
All
back
right,
later,
thanks,
Gary.
Gary.
Very good. So I think we've got Mr. Gerald Salenti on the line from the Trends Journal, and he can be found at trendresearch.com, I believe. And he's been I've been a fan of his for a long time. I think he's been spot on his predictions, and I think that we actually get some truth from Mr. Salenti. I was watching one of his videos this morning, and he has his BS meter. And so are you there, Mr. Salenti?
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I'm here.
Well, can you tell us what trends are, what's going on out there? What are the trends right now?
There's so much going on. Of course, you know, we have the magazine, the Trends Journal as well.
Yep.
And as you mentioned, we have two trends in the news every Monday through Friday. There's just so much. And I'll tell you the big story that people should be watching. And that's what's going on in Yemen. The Saudis from Washington, D.C., about 3 weeks ago, from Washington, D.C., the Saudi ambassador announced they were going to attack Yemen.
Wow.
This is how low our country has sunk, that we have all these foreigners from other countries using either the People's House or Washington to sell their propaganda and create wars.
Well, that seems to be... Go ahead.
So now the United States said initially they weren't going to be involved, and now they are. And we say we're only giving them reconnaissance and giving them refurbishing them with ammunition and missiles and bombs. And they're bombing Yemen, which is the poorest country in the region, one of the poorest countries in the world. And they're blaming it on the Houthis, which overthrew the government of Hadi, who was installed by the United States and Saudi Arabia after they threw out the Saad government that had been in power since 1990. And this guy was a vice president, ran in an election with nobody running against him. The people hated him. The corruption is rampant. So Saudi Arabia decided to invade. I'm mentioning this because we've been writing about this since 2009. And what happened was Saudi Arabia attempted to attack back then and lost big time when they tried to attack on their southern border where the Houthis are from. They're blaming it on Iran. You listen to our former ambassador, Secchi. You listen to the foreign minister of the UK, Philip Hammond. This has nothing to do with Iran. That's propaganda. The point that I'm making is that the Houthis have vowed that they're going to retaliate against Saudi Arabia. So if they start blowing up oil fields and destabilizing the monarchy, you're going to see unrest, and not only in the Middle East, but rattle the oil markets, which in turn could rattle the equity markets, which in turn could really destabilize an already destabilized Middle East. Let us applaud our Peace Prize-winning president for launching the Libyan war against somebody who wasn't doing anything to us, that was the richest nation in Africa, that's now in total chaos. Today, another 700 people just drowned off the coast of Italy trying to escape Libya. The whole area is in flames, and madness is being heaped upon madness. So when you put it back into the not only the geopolitical, but economic, you can see a lot of problems on the horizon.
Well, do you think this is cover for the worldwide economic collapse, I believe, is coming? And we know that Libya was attacked, I believe, because that Gaddafi was going to introduce a gold-backed currency. What do you think?
Not only did he have the gold-backed currency, they were going to do a whole currency throughout Africa.
Right, as the Afrikaan to supplant the petrodollar, which kind of brings me to my next question. What do you have anything to say about with the AIIB, the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank? Is that kind of the same thing now, only on a bigger scale with China backing it?
And exactly as you said. But of course you can't stop China. But look what happened when the United Kingdom joined. America went berserk. And they tried to dissuade them from going into it. But you see, the business of the world is business. and the business of America has become war. So the UK joined. Immediately after that, you saw France and Germany join. Israel and Iran have joined.
South Korea?
57 nations have joined.
Wow.
This is the beginning of, it's a challenge, by the way, to the IMF and the World Bank. The Chinese wanted more rights than they were getting from both those institutions, and Congress refused to give it to them. So they said, oh, we're going to do our own, and they have. You still have the United States dollar, however, as the major reserve currency, having gone down from about 80%, you know, a decade or so ago to about 63% today. But the reason being is that there's nothing strong there to supplant it. So we could talk about China. China has a real estate bubble that's burst. They have a stock market bubble that's ready to burst. And then you look at Europe with the euro. The euro went down from about 28% as a reserve currency, now down to 22%. So the United States is only sitting pretty because everybody's looking so ugly.
The best horse in the glue factory.
Yeah, very well put. I'll remember that one.
Well, it's crazy. Where do you think we're going here? I mean, I just see a worldwide collapse of the economy. You look at the Baltic Dry Index, the orders for goods, everything, and we're given this fairytale story about the recovery. But, you know, how does this all tie into the Middle East?
Well, again, with the Middle East, these could be kind of like those wild card events that push it over the edge. Look, we all know, all of us in the business, that the only reason the equity markets are going up are the 0% interest rate policy. They haven't raised interest rates in nearly 10 years. And you're looking at negative interest rates over in Europe. And, you know, you're nice folks. I got a deal for you. I have a 10-year Swiss bond. Yeah, you pay me, and in 10 years, you're guaranteed. Just sign over here to get less. We're going to call it negative yield. Unprecedented in world history.
Such
never
a deal.
Happened.
Such a deal, yeah.
So now what you're looking at, the only reason these equity markets are going up is because the gambling casino, they call them investors, the gamblers are borrowing money for nothing. You're seeing 50% of the stock market gains coming through buybacks, and the rest with merger and acquisition activity. Look, what about a week ago, there was over $100 billion in 1 week of M&A activity?
Wow.
They're borrowing the money for nothing. What? So, yes, it's going to collapse. The Middle East is one of those issues that happens, and then they call it an Archduke Ferdinand moment. They say, oh, the reason World War I started, all you little stupid boys and girls that are forced to read the crap that we're selling you, is because they shot the Archduke Ferdinand in Sarajevo. And that could be the kind of thing that happens with the Middle East, with this flashpoint event that may happen if they start blowing up Saudi oil fields, if they start attacking the monarchy. You're going to see a financial this thing unravel overnight.
Wow!
And again, you know, when I kept, you know, as a kid, when they tell you the Archduke Ferdinand story, you know, I remember I was an adult and I'm reading. Hey, wait a minute! What was this guy doing in Sarajevo if he's from the Austrian-Hungarian Empire? Well, how about being an occupier? You know? You're in my country and you don't belong here, and somebody blows their brains out and they get uptight about it.
I'm sorry.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you have no loss for words there, Gerald. One of the things I want to ask you here is, how does this all tie into the worldwide casino? You mentioned the derivatives market, as I believe what you're talking about, is that, you know, the low interest rates are being suppressed. We know that. And it's free money to the boys. But, you know, how does this all work, and how is it going to collapse the derivative market if this keeps going? You know, and how does this event trigger this whole collapse just because it's the straw that broke the camel's back?
When they read, look, we were wrong. We believed that they were going to raise interest rates. You ready for this? We believed they were going to raise interest rates in March of 2014. We know that when they raise interest rates, the casino closes. And they can't raise interest rates. I believe that it's going to be an outside event, like I mentioned, like an Archduke Ferdinand moment, that collapses the system. You see, every time they even talk about raising interest rates, the markets go into cardiac arrest. What happened this past weekend? After the markets closed on Friday, they announced in China that they were changing the margin call shot, and they were making it harder to borrow money based on stocks that you already own. And they're allowing short selling, which they weren't doing before. When you look at the equity markets, you're looking at the Shanghai now is at 7-year highs. You're looking at nearly a 60% gain in Japan when they started putting in Abenomics. But look at the facts. Despite all of the quantitative easing called Abenomics, you're looking at negative growth, GDP growth out of Japan last year in the third quarter, barely grew at all, and this quarter they're looking at 1.5%. I'm mentioning this because what happens is every time they say they're going to raise interest rates, the markets begin to collapse. Go back to last October. On October, the last week of October, the Fed announced that they were going to cut tapering. That was when they officially announced it. 3 days later, actually on Halloween, Japan announced round two of Abenomics. This is at a time, and you could go back and look at the charts, the markets were collapsing with the announcement from the Fed that they were cutting tapering. So then the next central bank stepped into the game and said, we're going to double up on quantitative easing in Japan, but here's what we're also going to do. Besides those trillions of yen that we're going to dump into the market, our pension funds are also going to now buy not only Japanese bonds, but we're going to buy other countries' bonds, and we're going to invest in global stock markets. Then you saw another slowdown, and then what happened in January? Draghi announced over there in the EU their brand of quantitative easing. What are they looking at? 1.6 trillion euros in 16 months and promised more if they need it? So what I'm saying is, at some point, interest rates are going to have to go up. The markets are going to stay alive, I believe, as long as interest rates stay low and as long as they allow the casinos to keep playing the bets that they are. When the markets open up tomorrow in China, or tonight, actually, we'll see what the effects are going to be, because after hours, the markets were down 5% on Friday. Now, as I said, a geopolitical event could cause the collapse of the House of Cards, and I believe the one that people should be looking at is what's going on in Yemen.
Wow, that's a lot. Gosh, you know, with all this going on, what do you see as the end game here? I mean, when this thing starts to tumble and this the dominoes thing, is it just going to be war, take our minds off of it?
You know, they're going to keep robbing us of our rights, more war. It's disgusting what's happened to this country. The founding fathers would be turning in their graves. They probably are. You know, I'm up here in Kingston, New York, Colonial Kingston. I'm looking across the street as the courthouse. 90% of America's Constitution came from the Constitution. This was the first capital of New York State that was written here. Four Supreme Court justices, including John Jay, were jurors here. Every one of the founding fathers, beginning with Washington, no foreign entanglements. This is a man that fought in the war, not these little chicken hawks. These little boys to play golf, drive pickup trucks, shoot pool, and shoot off their mouths, and couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag. This was a warrior. No foreign entanglements. Jefferson, Madison, Adams, every one of them. To Dwight D. Eisenhower, 5-star general, Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces in World War II, two-term president. He's leaving office. He gives the famous military-industrial complex is taking over the nation speech. He hated war. America has hijacked its future with war. I've had enough.
Well, maybe, maybe we can turn it around. I mean, I guess, you know, there's the purity in suffering is what I always say. And I think that's what's going to have to happen before we see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Not necessarily. It could get worse and then it could get even worse. It has to, I believe we can change it around. And I believe the opportunity is never better than now. Look at the clowns they call presidential candidates. You got Hillary Clinton, she names a van Scooby-Doo. What am I, 6 years old? Who are you kidding with this crap? Marco Rubio. My father was a Cuban refugee. Ted Cruz. Hey, guess what? So is everybody else's grandfather, father. And what do you think you're special here with this garbage? This is a nation of immigrants. One cheap line after another. You know who these people are? And by the way, I have experience in this. I used to run political campaigns in Westchester County when it was the richest county in the United States. I instructed American politics and campaign technology at St. John's University, and I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate at 23 years old. These are the same people you couldn't stand in high school and college that wanted to be class president and head of the student council. They were the overly ambitious, the insincere, the brown nosers and the glad handers. And here they are shooting their mouths off about nothing. Christie, Rand Paul, if I get elected, we're going to cut back the military. Well, no, we're not. We're going to add another $150 billion. If I'm elected, no foreign aid, not to anybody. Well, except Israel, because I bow to pressure like everybody else. One liar after another. Oh, you have to do that to get elected. Oh, you have to lie and be immoral to become anything? So what I'm saying is the opportunity has never been better than now. The vacuum is there. It can be filled with greatness, mediocrity, or more hate and destruction. And it's up to we the people. It's changing worldwide. You have a Podemos movement over there in Spain. Overnight, a new party to challenge the established two. You have the UKIP and the Scottish Party challenging Labour and the Conservative Party over in the UK. You have the Northern League and the Five Star Movement challenging the parties in Italy. Where is the challenge of America? I can tell you one thing that disgusts me. This country has lost its courage. The people have become cowards, and they cower to the political bosses and the other Wall Street crime bosses. Where is the courage of Americans?
Wow. Well, I'm hoping that it's in the Tea Party and the State of Jefferson movement and a few other places that are coming out of the woodwork here that aren't getting any media coverage. That's why we've kind
of... Well, the Tea Party sold out.
Well, some
of
them.
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
Not all of them, but a lot of them. I mean, you've got that guy, Ted Cruz, calls himself a Tea Party. What has this guy ever done? He floats one way or another. Another guy, and I'm tired of hearing this, that we have to support Israel. I don't support Italy. I don't support Ireland. I don't want my money going anywhere. And I'm totally against what Israel is doing. And it's just like I speak about my country, I'll speak about any country. And I don't want to be called an anti-Semite for speaking my mind. And every one of these politicians are selling us out. They keep occupying territory, stealing more land, are against the Geneva Conventions and UN resolutions, and they can get away with it? And every one of these politicians are bending over for it? I've had it. And by the way, they're not Semites. Every one of the leaders of Israel are Ashkenazi, Eastern Europeans. Semites are the Palestinians and the people down there, and they're throwing out these cheap lines so that they dissuade people from speaking out. Just like I'm talking about Saudi Arabia attacking an innocent country like Yemen and slaughtering the people. I'll talk about any country that I want, and I don't want to be called any names. I only live by facts.
Well, you know, doesn't this all go back to the World Banking?
Yes. And it goes back to, if there was one man that, you know, I have six words that have destroyed America. Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks.
Listen, we've got to go to a break or they're going to cut us off, Mr. Salente. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. I'd like to have you hold over if you got time, but
I don't today. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe in the future we can get you back on
and we can spend a little bit more time on these subjects.
I'd love to. Thank you so
much. All right.
Thank you.
You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
Howdy folks, Nate Abarea here. Join me every Sunday at 2 p.m. for Destination North State. Each hour-long show will be direct from special spots in the heart of Northern California, featuring the people and the places that make this region so unique. You'll hear the beautiful and the gritty sides of the North State that we call our own. Made possible by Muse Concrete, Palomar Builders, and Yaks on the Five in Dunsmuir. It's Destination North State every Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
America's original extreme sport. The Red Bluff Roundup is on. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 3 days of the best rodeo action on dirt. Get your discount tickets now at the Roundup office, redbluffroundup.com. By phone or Diamond W Westernware in Chico.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PBA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Simpson University, the Christian University of Northern California, announces its newest degree, the Master of Arts in Organizational Leadership. This distinctive graduate degree offers a unique concentration in nonprofit management and prepares graduates to function as highly skilled ethical leaders in a wide spectrum of organizations. We'd like to share more about our unique programs for developing the leadership skills in demand today. Speak with an enrollment professional now. Call us at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu/lead.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together brighter.
Yeah, we got to do some jazz hands and spirit fingers there. Everything's sunshine and lollipops, but, and the recovery continues.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yay.
It is.
So
after that, guess we're going to bring it down a notch to our locals.
Yeah, we better bring it down a notch because I'll tell you what, you got to love Gerald. He calls it like he sees him, you know, I mean, and he doesn't pull any punches. And that's it's refreshing to have somebody that actually, you know, will say speak his mind and not, you know, give you the sunshine and lollipop treatment.
Well, there, I think it's a day for speaking your mind because we have a guest in the studio. We have Fred Salante with Missing in America Project with us. And we are going to be talking about the county and the VSO, the Veterans Service Office, and what's been going on and follow the money trail here. So welcome, Fred. How are you this morning?
Well, I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful day, and I'm great listening to all the comments here. And you guys had call after call after call, so I think that's great.
Yeah. We're trying to do it. We're trying to get the information out there.
What are the odds we transition from Salenti to Salanti?
I thought about that earlier. It's like, yeah, it's one of them kind of days.
Tomato, potato, potato, Salenti, Salanta.
Yeah, this is how we roll, you know. But, you know, we like to have fun. But this is a pretty serious matter that we got going on in our own county. I mean, you know, it was serious what our other guest was talking about. But with the Veterans Service Office, we've got a lot of stuff going on. So, you know, Fred, I don't know where we want to start here. I know we got a lot of problems. I know that the biggest thing here is the veterans are getting caught in the crossfire, and it's not a good thing, you know. And I don't think people realize the money trail here and what's happening.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was is that I was gone for a few weeks on a trip arranging stuff for Arlington, like you had mentioned earlier in the show. And so when I came back, I was surprised to hear that the Veterans Service Office, or Duke Medeiros, was fired. And then more startling was the fact that with him being fired, the senior Veterans Service Officer, the Veteran Service Officer Secretary, another clerical, and a part-time guy all quit in protest saying that the 42 allegations against Duke were not correct.
Right.
So that just kind of generated a problem because the biggest thought that's on my mind is we've got 4,000 open claims out there, and who's going to handle it? If there's only one or two people left in the office, what's going to happen? So my concern was is that of the claims that the Shasta County processes with the Veterans Service personnel, last year alone, they brought in $7 million revenue to the veterans, which means $7 million came into this county that wouldn't have necessarily been there by a group of three or four people working hard down there.
Right. So we got $7 million in the hopper, right, yeah. That's just sitting there, and now there's no way to process the claims to get the payment to them.
No. That was actually paid last year.
Oh, okay.
But it's paid to the veterans. I made a mistake when I wrote the letter and I said it went into the general fund, and that was not true.
Okay.
What it did is those were the claims that were paid to veterans. But the claim that was paid this year, first thing the guy did was go down to a local car dealer and bought a truck. So all of a sudden that is revenue back into the county because it's turning that money back into assets for Shasta County.
Well, yeah, because a lot of them don't have any assets and they're waiting for their claims to obtain access.
Well, this claim that was settled this year was 8 years in the making. And it took Jim Young 8 years out of his 10 years to get this claim processed and finalized.
Wow.
So with the fact that somebody like Jim, even though Duke had been 4 months on the job, he was acknowledged as one of the experts in the whole state of California. Even one of our congressman's office used him for the past 7-8 years as the premier expert. So Shasta County had, on paper at least, the very best service officer that we could have. And so in 4 months, he's gone. So and then the rest of the staff leaving in protest. And I'm sure that when they let Duke go, nobody anticipated that the whole rest of the staff was going to resign and support. So, but that still leaves the question, what happens? They had three open jobs down there from November, December, and they had just hired one part-time person. But we're talking 4 or 5 months with those jobs open, and now we got four more vacancies. How long is it going to take to fill those? And
then what happens with the claims meanwhile? Because if they go past a certain date, then the veteran has to start over again, right?
Well, not really start over again, but the problem is they give you a suspense. When they come back from the claims office at the regional office, they'll come back and say, you got 60 days to submit this paperwork to appeal what's happened or to provide us the paperwork. So there needs to be constant activity with those little things that maybe aren't the full-time thing, but they all add up to eventually that claim getting approved and the money coming into the county. So that's the concern. There's a couple things happening, and the county addressed some of the stuff, and, of course, they felt because it was a personnel matter, they couldn't speak about anything that happened. I guess the biggest thoughts on my mind is how do you let 42 complaints out of 88 working days that Duke had on the job build up?
Right.
Why isn't something solved before that? And then
Who did the investigation and stuff? That's some of my concerns is who did the investigating and were they an outside source or in-house or what?
I believe it was in-house. And I know for a fact they say that they have 300 pages of documentation. But yet I know of the people that resigned in protest, some of those people weren't interviewed, and they're the very most important people in the office. So how true is that 300 pages of documentation?
Right, and we can't view that.
We can't see it, yeah.
Which doesn't seem right. It seems like that if it's having to do in the capacity it is, that it should be public record of the allegations and what transpired and the investigation and what the findings were.
Yeah. Well, and it's like the story is very moving, even since it happened, because, for example, in the supervisors' meeting last week, they commented that Jim Young didn't resign in protest, but that he retired. The real story is, and I've seen Jim's resignation letter, he did resign in protest, not realizing that he was eligible for retirement. And so then he put in for retirement, but he resigned out of the protest for what was the attitude in the office and the work environment, as did the other people that resigned. And so
that's a big statement.
Well, it's a big statement because you're telling me that people are giving up careers and lots of other things in support of a guy that they thought was falsely accused. Now, I happen to know in retrospect that there were a couple things that were probably very true, but my question more is if a couple are true, why is there 42, and what's the story on the other 40?
And where did they come from? I like to, you know.
Well, that's another problem.
Yeah.
There's not 42 people in that office to file a complaint.
So where did the complaints come from? Because I, out in the community, there was no complaints that I know of.
Well, I just know that I did some dealings with Duke personally from the time he came on board. And this was a guy that didn't want to have any politics, simply wanted to work for veterans. And, in fact, he was so concerned about a veteran that he had when he was in Southern California that he brought a case to me that this gentleman had died unclaimed in Kingman, Arizona. And Duke said, what can we do? And as I resolved the paperwork and did stuff, part of that trip I was on was to go pick Duke's friend up, unclaimed remains in Kingman, Arizona, and I took him the next day to Phoenix where we buried him with eight other veterans that were unclaimed. So that says something to me about where your heart and where your interest is for veterans.
Right. And he was vetted pretty well before he was put in this position, correct?
I think absolutely, and I think you can see even from the whole story of at the supervisors' meeting, there were 20 people that came up and talked, including a representative from one of our congressmen's office. And I know for a fact that they've been using him for a long time as the resident expert in California. So I think credentials were fine. We don't know what is out there because nobody's saying, and that's just speculation at this point. But I just am concerned that there's a lot of workload, there's a lot of actions that got to happen, and even when they were short-staffed already, they were getting long, but there were still waiting lines if you went down there and got there. So the biggest loser in this whole deal is our local veterans that have an instant problem or need some reaction fast, and they've got to try to go get through the line to go get in there to show them what the problem is and get help.
And there's not, like, any place that they can go, you know, choose another place close to get help, is there?
There is some. There is some, because if you go down to the VA clinic, the VFW, DAV, some other people have some representatives.
Okay.
I just think, but again, there's a few isolated guys that don't do it full time.
Right.
And to me, if I want somebody to handle it, even back when I processed my own claim, I went to Don Mangrum way back in the days.
Right.
And he's the one that helped me and helped me get my benefits through. So we want to support the Shasta County VSO office, but we want it to operate as fine and as best and in the best possible way. And I'm hoping that because we have this already that it doesn't create a very nervousness. I was very disappointed, actually, to read the job announcement for the veteran service officer and the senior representative, because there's absolutely no qualifications required other than you're going to get interviewed and they're going to pick you by interview.
I saw that.
Now, how you've got people that have to know where to go get the laws, where to know, they got to know federal code, they got to know a lot of things. So to say you're going to pick somebody with no requirements, to me, should have been 3, 4, 5 years of work in veterans claims, and they may ask that.
Right.
But it's just that the way the application is written, every person in the county can put in for it.
So when we were talking before, let's go back to the money trail, how that works in the county, because I know you know how that works, how the money comes in and how it goes out. Can you kind of help me out with that?
Well, the state pays some money, about $100,000, $92,000 to be exact, to keep that office open. And, of course, with staff and other stuff, there's a higher cost than that. I was under the presumption that there was some money that went straight into the county general fund. I'm not sure there isn't, but I haven't had time to research that. But if we just take the $7 million that's out there for last year, that $7 million went to veterans that live in Shasta County.
Okay.
So when you're counting all the other kind of county and state federal benefits that come because of the number of veterans you have in this county, that shows because there was 6,000 people that have processed stuff through this county, veterans,
mm-hmm.
and we've got 4,000 open claims. So that tells you a lot.
Right.
And so when that money's paid to a veteran, it goes to the veteran in his bank. But he's spending or paying bills for here. He's buying, like the other friend of mine that bought a new truck. They're buying new furniture. They're remodeling their house. All of that money goes in, and eventually a portion of it rolls back in taxes right. and other things. So that's the way I see the money trail right now without really digging deep, and I'm really not that interested to try to dig that deep. I'm just more concerned that they get the people hired and get people on board as swift as they can.
Do you think it's going to take them very long? I know we had the other positions open for so long. I mean,
well, they say there's emphasis on it now, and I believe the supervisors will put emphasis on it now, because I think that the simple matter of looking up and having something that they felt was valid under Duke still being in a probationary period, it's easy to let people go when they're still on probation. It's a big difference than when you're a full-time
right.
employee and pass that, because you generally have to have three letters of reprimand, and then you're able to talk to them about letting them go.
Right.
But under probation, it's not. It's a very easy process.
Which isn't good. I mean, we're without any help or anything down there at the VSO office right now, so... I had somebody come to me and say they went down there and the office was closed. Now, I don't know. I haven't been down to the office, but that's not a good thing if they're going down there and the office is closed and they can't even see anybody about their claims.
Well, I think if it was closed, it was only closed in the short term whenever this was going on. And this next Tuesday, John Kleckner and stuff has already presented a proposal for some other things that the county is to look at so that we can preclude this happening in the future.
And that's going to be at the Board of Supervisors meeting?
That's going to be at the Board of Supervisors meeting,
well,
9 o'clock on Tuesday.
Yeah, I can make this one. Unfortunately, we weren't able to make the last one, so it's 9 o'clock this Tuesday that he's going to be presenting that information.
Yeah, John spoke in the free hours because when this thing happened, it was published on a Saturday morning. They couldn't. You have to have a request in to speak before the supervisors by Friday.
Oh.
So because it was published on Saturday, it was too late. So they asked for a proposal. Supervisor Kehoe approved for John to be able to come and present it, and I know that they've already turned in a stack of what they proposed to the county already.
Okay. So hopefully we can get those positions filled soon and get the claims taken care of for these veterans out there and get their help.
Again, this is a daily thing. Somebody gets a letter in the mail today and they got 60 days to respond. So hopefully there's enough staff and stuff that's there that can and help them.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Wow.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening to you guys. You guys are doing pretty well.
Yeah. It's just amazing. I mean, it just all of a sudden this whole thing just blew up and it was just chaos and a lot of different things floating around out there, so that's why we wanted to get some of the clarification out there for the public.
Well, I think there is going to be no real clarification as long as it's behind the personnel action and secret. You know, obviously the only way you get disclosure is if you know what's happening, so we're at a kind of a halfway street that we know from our side and can speculate a lot, but it really isn't.
So
you can request the emails and stuff, though, on this thing, I would assume. And they're not revealing anything down there?
No, and I have to say that that before the supervisors' meeting, I had a call from the chairman of the Board of Supervisors to talk about my letter so that he knew where I was coming from. And then he wrote me an email after to basically explain the same thing they said in the meeting, but to do it. So at least they took the time to look at what I wrote and to answer it. But again, everything is couched into a personnel action and can't be discussed.
Well, what is the remedy here?
Yeah.
Well, the remedy is to get the people hired as fast as possible, and second to make sure that if we're going to have a problem with complaints and allegations and other stuff, that they're handled fast, the first two. I would never think there should be over a couple that's backed up before they've already had an investigation and either done something swiftly. How do you let 42 of them get on board?
Yeah. That's insane.
I guess the job of government is no longer the business of the people. It's the job of government to be for government, it seems like. It just more and more you're seeing it. It doesn't you know, I mean, it doesn't seem like they're governing anymore based on, you know, what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, I think, again, I think that everybody expected just to do the personnel action of letting Duke go. I think nobody expected that the whole office and the four other people are going to walk out the door. And I think when you have that happen, one, it sends a message. There is support for him, or they thought the allegations were false.
And something's wrong. I mean, you know, something's really wrong.
That's the basic question.
Yeah, I mean, and what is it? You know, is this targeting? Is this because of personality conflicts? Was there actually wrongdoing? I mean,
yeah. What level is the problem at? It could be at any level here.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I have a negative attitude towards the supervisors because of past indiscretions on things. So I don't know. We got to.
I don't know. They're going to cut us off. So this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State, and we'll pick it up on the other side.
You can climb a mountain. You can swim the sea.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Italy's Coast Guard says while only a couple dozen people are confirmed dead out of roughly 700 migrants aboard a boat that capsized in the Mediterranean overnight, the toll is likely to go much higher as the day wears on. It's all part of a larger refugee crisis springing out of Libya.
We've had 1.5 years now to talk about that and discuss that and plan for that. And only now we hear that the EU and governments are all sort of starting to discuss that and saying it's unacceptable, we have to do something. But something needs to be done, it's clear.
The UN refugee chief for Southern Europe, Laurent Joly. Captured Ethiopian Christians appear to have been executed in Libya. A video released by ISIS this morning online appears to show the killings of two different groups. 300 U.S. paratroopers have arrived in Ukraine to train National Guard units there.
The U.S. 173rd Airborne Brigade has previously trained with Ukrainian forces and will now provide training to three Ukrainian battalions to help them defend their borders and their sovereignty. An officer with the brigade was quoted as saying, Kiev, Western governments and NATO cite what they say is overwhelming evidence of Russian troops and weapons sent to fight alongside Russian-backed militants in eastern Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin has repeated denials of that, and his spokesman Dmitry Peskov said the U.S. training is a long way from helping towards a settlement of the conflict. Tom Barton, SRN News, Moscow.
More than 1,000 people gathered in Oklahoma City today to mark the 20th anniversary of the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building there that killed 168 people. An out-of-control wildfire broke out in a forested basin in Southern California. It's grown to 300 acres today. However, 300 homes that were evacuated have now been given the all-clear. This is SRN News.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women, and now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-884-1759. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective. It's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-884-1759. 800-884-1759. That's 800-884-1759.
The United Nations Humanitarian Agency says more than 90,000 people have fled ISIS advance in Iraq's western Anbar province. There's fierce fighting in and around the provincial capital of Ramadi. The Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says today civilians are fleeing Ramadi, as well as three nearby villages captured by ISIS in just the past few days. The UN also says that Afghanistan's women are being failed by the country's justice system, as most complaints of domestic violence are dealt with by mediation rather than prosecution. A report released this morning says only 5% of surveyed cases were resolved through the judicial system, resulting in criminal prosecution and punishment for the perpetrators. The UN's Assistant Secretary General for Human Rights says the women often choose mediation to resolve complaints of violence, partly because they lack faith in the justice system. He says access to justice for women must be improved. This is SRN News. Serious safety concerns are being raised about submerged, low-profile dams that dot rivers and streams all across the country.
Many of these so-called low-head dams date back to the early 20th century, and while they've long since outlived their original purpose, today they create the kind of wide, smooth waterway considered perfect for recreation. The problem is the undertow. Over the years, hundreds of unsuspecting swimmers and boaters have been trapped in the churning waters and drowned. An official with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources says once people go over the dam, it's impossible to climb out.
SRN's Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, April 19, the 109th day of 2015. There are 256 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1775, the American Revolution officially began with the battles of Lexington and Concord. On this date in 1865, a funeral was held at the White House for President Lincoln. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Come back. Welcome back to Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Community Radio for the North State, where we put parties above politics, and or was it political parties? Well, how'd that go? I don't remember. I'm so confused. So anyway,
what's new?
Yeah, shut up.
I'm just saying.
Shut you yap. Anyway, the quote of the day. I'm going to do it. The two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie down the second with the chains of the Constitution so the second does not become the legalized version of the first. Thomas Jefferson.
And there you go. There we have it.
So, go ahead.
All right. So we're back, and we still have Fred here in the studio. And we wanted to go over some events and different things that we got going on with Missing in America Project and stuff. So let's do it, Fred.
Okay, one of the things that Linda talked about early on in the show when it first came on was the Cool April Nights events on this Friday. But also in the afternoon and the morning at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery at IGO, Arbor Day is actually the 22nd. But PG&E has given a grant to both the veteran homes mm-hmm. and the cemetery to plant trees and plant things. So there will be an Arbor Day event at the cemetery, and they'll be planting trees and doing stuff. And we will be out there cooking for all the kids
yep,
and the people
will.
That come and plant trees. So that event, and then, of course, in the evening is Cool April Nights When we're they shut down all the roads and stuff, we'll be at Tobacco and Brew with our hot dog stand. And
Willie's hot dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're good, too, because these will all be quarter-pound hot dogs as well as the hamburgers. So
and we're going to what start cooking at 2?
Yeah, they start cooking about 2 at Tobacco and Brew. We actually end up doing better business almost before they shut the roads down and do stuff because people are coming in, putting their chairs out, getting a place to set. And Tobacco and Brew has quite a bit of parking there, so they do that as a benefit to MIAP as well.
Right, and the proceeds, we're using the donations on that to go into which pot?
Well, they will go both right now to the camp.
Okay.
Camp for Life is coming up on the 28th of June to the 4th of July. And that's, of course, for our kids with serious illnesses out at the environmental camp at Whiskeytown. And so that will be our sixth year of putting this on. And so that always needs proceeds. At the end of the day, it costs us about $32,000 to put that camp on. So, the kids and the family love it. It's basically a chance for them to get away from medical procedures, no phones. You know, no TV as such. We give them a movie. They do campfire events and hikes and trails.
Yeah, so
and swim and yeah.
Yeah, if you have an activity you might want to help out with, let us know. Also, I wanted to let people know during camp we give them 3 meals a day for the family and the children. So and they love to eat. Let me tell you. So it's a great event. But if you're interested, I know like Lori's bringing out her horses and dogs again this year for the kids. You can always get a hold of me at 221-0101 or Fred at 226-9900 on that one.
Okay, and the other thing we got coming up is on May 16th, which is Armed Forces Day, which is also the same day as the rodeo parade in town. We have the Veterans Hall all day, and we'll be cooking a very nice luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
We've got beef ribs, pork ribs, chicken, salads galore. And so I think that that event, if you're going to watch the parade, get done and walk over to the Veterans Hall, and we'll be serving a beautiful luncheon there for a donation.
Yep.
We don't charge for any of our events. So don't feel bad about coming and bringing your family and eating, because that's what we're there for. And if you want a donation, we'll do it.
I really don't feel bad.
That's it. Well, and you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be, too. We don't want anybody to feel bad.
Yeah, we don't turn anybody away.
Nobody's turned away.
Nope.
I actually had some people one time at one of our events down there, and a couple of the homeless people from down there came through to eat, and they looked at me incredulously and said, "Why are you letting them in here?" And I says, "Well, it just so happens. You see that both of those are wearing fatigues and stuff? Both of those are veterans. So our events are always for veterans and for veterans' families and for first responders. So we're always welcoming the police, the firefighters, the EMTs, and veterans."
And the one guy that we had down there that was a homeless veteran, and he came through the line and ate, he was one of the best workers we had afterwards. Boy, he helped clean up and took the garbage out. He was great.
Yeah, sometimes you can't judge a book by their cover.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, you look at the cover and you see it. In fact, that guy worked so hard. He picked every chair up. He was so proud because we gave him a T-shirt that our Twin Towers T-shirt that says MIAP Honors, and it's got the policeman, the fireman, and the soldier. He went in the bathroom, took a bath, cleaned up, did everything, and presented himself in our shirt after that
to pick up
chairs and to help do everything. So we always that's the way we do things. That's coming up, and it's also Armed Forces Day, May 16th. It's also the end run for the Fallen Rider Memorial Run.
Yep.
They're going to start their run and go out and about and then come back, and it's a luncheon for them. And then for the Veterans Home has been invited to bring their veterans to come and eat. So everybody just know that on Armed Forces Day, if you're going to the rodeo parade, go and don't miss it. But after that, come for lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for the grace of God, there go I. I mean, some people have to realize that, you know, we are in economic hard times, and not everybody out there who's homeless or has a real problem is
a bad person.
Is a bad person. So sometimes you can, you know, help some of these people to help themselves.
Yep. You never know what the circumstance is.
Yeah. A couple other events I'd like to bring up is that on May 22nd, 23rd, there's an Armed Forces Day run in Kuna, Idaho. And actually, that run has so many pre-registrations already. We're to get 1/3 of the donations, and it looks like it's going to be right around $10,000.
Nice.
For Camp for Life and for Arlington Run.
Great.
So, and then on June 5th, we have a funeral in Helena, Montana for 9 veterans. And then we head south to Jackpot, Nevada to the Veterans of Foreign Wars Convention. And they're going to present MIAP with a national award from VFW National.
Very nice.
So those are go. And then back to the last thing that Linda mentioned was Arlington. We were trying to go in June. It didn't happen. We've now asked for the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd of September, and that's the dates we'll be going. And even though early on in May and June we ran into rain the last time, we may run into a little bit more humidity and stuff this time.
A little bit more heat this time probably for you
but,
guys.
But we're taking not 5 veterans. Part of this trip that I mentioned earlier that I went to Phoenix and I went to Fort Huachuca for 18 veterans to bury. Then I went to Fort Bliss, Texas, where we're in the process of exhuming a Black Buffalo soldier enlisted man from World War I, and he will be our 6th member. So we
nice.
Are taking 6 veterans, and if you look at our shirt that we have made, you'll see that that we started with 2 people from Washington. I've went and picked them up. They're here in Redding. I picked up Mr. Pinsack, who is a Humboldt State instructor and teacher, and for the Redwood College. And he was unclaimed, and he's a Silver Star recipient. He was in the Oshawa Valley and picked up a friend and carried him through fire and got wounded himself and all of that. So that was part of it. And then so he's our first and primary guy, but we'll leave here with 3 guys. Arizona has 2, and they'll come and meet us in Lyman, Colorado, and the Buffalo Soldiers will pick up Mr. Ferdinand Ware and drive to Lyman, and we'll all meet together and travel the rest of the way across the country.
Very nice, and that will go all the way to Arlington then.
All the way to Arlington.
All the way to Arlington. So
very good. Well, we want to thank you for coming in, Fred. We appreciate it very much, and we'll have you back as soon as possible.
Yeah, and before we go to a break, I want to throw your number out there again. If you want to get a hold of Fred or want to help sponsor the trip to Arlington or anything, or need information about veteran services or anything else, give Fred a call. He's really plugged into everything. His number is 226-9900, and he's a great guy, and I want to thank you again for coming in, sir. Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you all, too.
All right, you bet.
All right, and with that, we'll go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
I didn't mean to take that whole...
Cliff Duell with your local Redding Safari Club chapter, and we are inviting you to our May 2nd banquet at Wind River Casino at 5 p.m. We're going to have a live auction, drawing, games, lots of guns to be given away, and a 48-gun safe. Proceeds go to the veterans, and also a $1,000 high school scholarship will be awarded. For tickets, call Larry at 474-5075. You can also purchase your tickets at Trophy West Insurance or go to sciredding.org. See you there.
Call 243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
Oh no, dirty carpets. So I call Preferred Carpet Care. You know they've been voted the best of the North State, and now my carpets look like new. Preferred Carpet Care. Clean, efficient, and professional. I love the way my carpets look. Remember the number.
243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next week, winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I used to know. I love my...
Back. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire. I don't know. I can't hear myself too good. I know it's my...
Shucky darn.
I know. Shut up. So anyway.
Cutter, I just had to throw it out.
Cutter mic, Bob. Cutter mic. Anyway, we're back, and we're in a fast-paced show here. And I do believe we have a caller on the line. Mr. Raposo, are you there?
I am. How are you two doing this morning?
Doing good.
The fun never stops.
What a great show.
Well, thanks. Thank you.
The first gentleman you had on was absolutely, I think he was spot on, really.
I believe that's why I've been trying to get Gerald Celente here for like 5 years. And we talked the other day, and who's on the show? I don't know. You know, I mean, same answer every week. I don't know. I'll have to ask Linda. And then she comes back, and I get a thing saying, Mr. Cement's going to be on. And I go, Mr. Cement? Who's Mr. Cement?
You know, with texting, you know, it just automatically fills in the blank. And I thought I hit the back button, but I guess not.
Is he coming on after Mr. Concrete or what? You know, so anyway, that was Mr. Celente. And I got to say, my sister's awesome. It was awesome. And anyway, there you have it. So it was spot on. I love the guy. I don't always agree with everything he says, but I'll tell you what, whatever he tells you, he believes.
Well, yeah, he's very truthful. No getting around that.
So what you got, Terry? Are we going to be talking about the State of Jefferson anti-matter group?
Yeah, but before I do that, I'd just like to touch on your last caller, if I could.
Sure.
Okay, first of all, those people who believe that targeting may not be going on at the Board of Supervisors also believe the economy is recovering. The other thing is that, the gentleman who Fred was talking about, who, retired, well, when Mr. Modi made that comment, and this was in the Record Searchlight, when Mr. Modi made the comment that this gentleman, oh, he didn't leave because of that, he's retiring, that gentleman was in the room, got up and walked out.
Yes, he did.
When he walked out, he talked to the Record Searchlight. What he told the Record Searchlight is, no, they know why I'm leaving. I am leaving in protest. I'm leaving because of what's going on and what they're doing. And basically, the Board of Supervisors not being transparent, I think there's something, I mean, it's just way beyond the pale. One other thing I wanted to bring up about veterans issues. We were in Plumas County, and this was last weekend, and we stayed with Russ and Rory Bowring. And the Bowrings are an interesting couple, awesome couple. Russ was recognized by Congress as a hero. He was a pilot and flew for the United States Marine Corps. He was absolutely wonderful in everything he did for the country. He became a banker after that. When we were there, we were reading in the Reno newspaper, I believe it's the Reno Gazette, but it's the main Reno newspaper, that there's $16 billion that's out there that's been allocated to help the veterans. Nobody's seeing any money yet. Also, when we were in Lassen County, the same thing that was going on here in Shasta County was going on in Lassen County, and they had a separate meeting for that. This was about a month ago. The whole thing that bothers me about this whole veteran deal is the fact that in 1989, there was a movie out called Born on the 4th of July, and there was a gentleman named Ron Kovac, and I don't agree with his politics, nor do I agree with Oliver Stone's politics. However, it was pointed out at that time that there were some egregious things going on with our young men and women coming back with wounds from Vietnam, that there was all kinds of bad things going on at the VA. The movie touches on that, hits on that, and I'm sure there were people that were aware of that. However, there were people who were whistleblowers that were not allowed to come forward because, guess what? They didn't really have congressional protection. I would submit to you that in 1989, the problems were bad just like they are now. The difference is that all of a sudden, these whistleblowers start getting some congressional protection, which is a good thing. But I do know that one veteran who wrote to Wally Herger four times didn't get any help until Doug LaMalfa's office helped them. Now, is this something to where the congressman's office just all of a sudden could get protection for the whistleblowers that no one else could do in the United States of America? Or, you know, was this something that was allowed to happen because the timing was right and it had some political capital to it?
That's a good question.
Good question. Interesting. Isn't funny?
And I know that Russ was very distraught about what was going on. And, you know, to have 4,000 cases out there just in our county alone, people should be outraged. But to me, this your first guest was right on. I think that there's a lot of these guys, it's just baloney. And did you all hear the letter that Chris Ann Hall wrote to Trey Gowdy?
Absolutely. Same thing. I mean, I think Trey Gowdy says all the right stuff, but it's all bloviating and nothing ever happens. Nobody ever gets indicted. Nobody ever gets convicted. Nobody ever gets charged with contempt of Congress. Nothing ever happens.
Right.
And all we get is grandstanding. And I think her letter pretty much said it all. We should probably read that on the air at some point.
Do you mind if I read that? It'll only take me about 2 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Gowdy, yesterday you stated on Hugh Hewitt's radio show that Congress doesn't have the authority to subpoena the server Hillary used when her term as Secretary of State because House rules, that's in parentheses, doesn't provide for that authority. You, sir, have just admitted that you and the rest of the House believe that Congress is powerless and we live in a kingdom. I'm absolutely sickened by the conviction by which you repeat this lie. I guess this is what happens when we elect politicians who are fundamentally ignorant of the Constitution, its purpose, and the power and duty imposed upon our elected representatives. This statement is so repulsive to liberty, so abhorrent to the principles of separation of power, so loathsome to the understanding of our constitutional republic that any representative who believes what you said in this radio interview should be ashamed of themselves. Alexander Hamilton said this, "Your conscience will reproach you for your folly, and your children's children will curse you." Why don't House rules, parentheses, give Congress the authority? Because House rules are invented by politicians to create excuses for not following the Constitution. Then they don't have the right to, they don't have to do the right thing. They can do what's politically easy to do. Mr. Gowdy, if what you say is true, we are all subjects to the executive branch, and that means we live in a kingdom and not in a constitutional republic. Sir, I believe that you've forgotten that the House of Representatives is the people, and you have announced to the world that the people of America are powerless to this government. I really don't know how to express just how despicable our Congress really is. Here's my advice. Stop making excuses and do your job. That's in capital letters. Don't worry about the House rules. Follow the Constitution. If Congress is so fundamentally ignorant of what the job is, then perhaps they all need to immediately resign, capital letters, their positions, and attend some remedial training. May I advise that you need to abandon your errant law school training? I know, I went there, and get some truth, capital letters. Hey, Trey, capital letters, I'm not a subject, and if you believe that you have no power to represent us, if you believe you have no power to defend liberty, and if you believe that you are powerless in front of a criminal who has participated in murdered citizens, violated her constitutional duty to the people, he has added and abetted the enemy and should be charged with treason, capital letters, and conspiracy to murder, you, in capital letters, need to hang your head in shame, turn in your resignation, and go home. May I suggest that you reread Article 2 and Section 4? If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to contact me. I have some good sources for constitutional truth to recommend. Perhaps you might begin with Federalist Paper number 69 in the Cato Letters. Perhaps this article might help. And she sends an article email address. Sincerely in Liberty, Chris Ann Hall. I think she said it straight, yes?
Yes.
I got to agree with Chris Ann. I mean, she's a hero of mine, and I think she's right. And that's what's going on is political gamesmanship. It's all about everybody covering it. You know, it's the old CYA is the old saying in government, and that's what they do. You know, they got to look good. You got to, you know, pander to your constituents, you know, and they don't want nobody calling them on the carpet for anything that they, do wrong. It's, oh, yeah, well, look at what they did over here, and look what they did over here, and these are great guys, and they're Republicans. The gloves are coming off on both sides of the aisle because we're being thrown to the wolves by both sides of the aisle here. It's just that the Democrats are open about it and the Republicans are not.
That's true. Anyway. You know, and it's just gotten to a point now to where, you know, where do we draw the line? And at what point can we say something? I mean, if you insult a congressman or you insult a senator, oh, my gosh, you're lucky if they'll talk to you. Oh, you know, I'm not going to talk to you because you don't agree with me. I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but I've kind of had it with this attitude. It's sort of like when you go to the Board of Supervisors, and we were at a town hall last week in Portola, as I said, and it's one thing I mentioned to them. I said, you know, one of the things we have a real problem with, and this is at city council meetings, and this is also at Board of Supervisors meetings, people will get up and they'll say, thank you for allowing me to speak. Think what? About that statement. You have 3 minutes in public comment. Of course, in the city of Reading, you have it at the end of the council meeting. Thank you for allowing me to speak. No, they're not allowing you to speak. It's your right to speak. They work for you. Does that mean that you need to be rude? Does that mean that you need to be abrupt? No. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and then go into your subject. But you're thanking them for allowing you to speak? Oh, my gosh. I mean, where have we come to? Well, the thing is that we the people, to create a more perfect union, we the people created the federal government. Since when does the creation rule and become more powerful than the creator?
Listen, Terry, I think we got to go to a break here right now, but you just explained to me why nobody wants to talk to me anymore.
Okay, with that, I guess we're going to a break.
Yeah, because I don't keep my mouth shut.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Our phone lines are 530-605-4567. If you'd like to call in, 530-605-4567.
I don't care what you say. I don't play the same games you play. 'Cause I've been talking.
Using junk science that wouldn't even meet the standards of a high school science fair. California Air Resources Board and the Environmental Protection Agency have written regulations that are devastating the California economy. They are costing people their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. This must be stopped. Help us continue the fight against CARB. Go to standandfightclubinc.com now and contribute to keep the fight going.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You spoke up and we listened. Turtle Bay Exploration Park now has extended hours. Turtle Bay is open Wednesday through Sunday until 5 p.m. most days throughout April. Use that extra hour to visit Sweet, a tasty journey. Admire the pieces on display in the West Coast Art Biennial. Visit your favorite animal friends in wildlife woods and so much more. For full list of hours, events, and programs, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
You see it all around you. Good and loving, gone bad. And usually it's too late when you realize what you had. And my mind goes back to a girl I met some years ago. Who told me? Just hold.
Yep. I tell you what, I could just crank that up and forget about the radio program. I like that song. Anyway, hold on loosely. I'm thinking
hold on tightly, not loosely right now, but that's, you know.
You know, didn't mean to belittle what Terry was saying as much as what I was trying to say is that, man, anytime you speak your mind or the truth or about freedom or the Constitution, you're branded some kind of extremist, you know, because a lot of people don't understand that, you know, these are important things. And, you know, the road that we're headed down
is not good,
is getting uglier and uglier because we're not following these things. We're not doing what the Constitution was intended or laid out for us to do. We're often, you know, the weeds here. And that's why we're having all these problems. Anyway, we got Terry Raposa with us. He's back on the line, I believe. Are you there, Terry?
I am. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Mark. And I mean, that's what they try to do is minimize you. This Monday night, by the way, at the Tea Party, at 6 o'clock on 2570 Bonneview Road at Destiny Fellowship Church, Mark Baird will be speaking on the state of Jefferson and the water issues. Now, Mark is the past president of the POW, which is to Protect Our Water. He's the past president, and he is the person who has been going down with Jim Nielsen for years and has been Jim Nielsen's right-hand man, or maybe vice versa, on the water issues. So he is an absolute expert, but he'll also be talking extensively about the state of Jefferson. But I did want to bring up just a quick thing about these folks of Keep It California. If you just go to their front page, and Red Smith this morning, he and I were talking, he said it the best. He said, you know, there's no sense in even really going into this. There's no sense in arguing with a lie. Just on their front page alone, basically what they have is they're saying that we're funded by some high-powered funding. We have no funding. There is no funding. There's no funding. The second thing is that Oregon's involved? No, Oregon's not involved. Third thing they say is that we have targeted counties. Nope, there's no targeted counties. The counties have called us, and those particular counties have asked to see what we're doing and want to get involved because they understand how bad California is. But when you stop and think about, let's say this never happens and we stay California. We know that next year that no ground would be broken at all, would it, on the water project? It won't. Cap and trade will probably be in full implementation, which means our taxes will be going up, our food will be going up, everything will be going up. We'll have new filters on everything. And, oh, by the way, did everybody know that the fire tax is now looking at going and putting a fee on every structure? Everything you have, everything you live in, if you have a garage, everything. And, oh, what about the per mile tax? Oh, and let's not forget about CalPERS, because CalPERS now can't even invest in oil and those good stocks because now everything's been taken over by the UN. So it's green energy. How great is that?
That's
so once they go into default, what's going to happen there? It falls back on the counties. Oh, and then it falls back on the cities. And before we know it, there is no money. And what about the meters on our wells? And oh, what about the Clean Water Act? Right? If you got a puddle in your driveway, that becomes now clean under the Clean Water Act because California doesn't use the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. California is 50 out of 50 in doing business, 50 out of 50, and 49 out of 50 in education. Plus, they're broke. Really?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'll tell you what, Terry. Anybody who's thinking that California doesn't have a problem, you know, and I just pulled up their website here, Keep It California, and you know, it's always a small group of extremists has really bad idea. They want to secede from California. No, we don't want to secede from California. We want to split the state. It's completely different than a secession. You know,
Article 4, Section 3.
Yeah, it's like everything they say is about branding this as some extremist movement. Well, how extreme is it to have a governor that's implementing the policies that he's been implementing, and look at what look how good it's been for California. We're about ready to go down the proverbial toilet.
Yeah.
And these guys act like there's nothing wrong. It's another recovery issue.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, is that just, you know, and I don't really want to beleaguer this subject because I don't think it's worth going into, other than the fact that we believe there could be some government funding here. If you look at the Sierra Club, they've now put it up on their page. Okay. We all know how that one works. Okay, and as we look at this whole thing, four of the five people that are on their core board are ex-government employees. Mm. On top of that, it gets even better. Three of them were at the town hall meeting we did last week in Portola. I asked three simple questions. One is, how many people believe that we should be having that we should be fiscally responsible with our money? Two of them raised their hand. How many people believe that we should follow the Constitution? One of them raised their hand. How many people here believe that the government shouldn't be in every aspect of your life? None of them raised their hands. The other interesting thing is when we did the Pledge of Allegiance, which we do, two of them stood, one of them sat, and he played with his cell phone.
Wow.
That's what we're dealing with here. I mean, really and truly, you know, so to me, I'll let Mark handle that tomorrow night, but I want to encourage everybody to go there. But I have a question for you, Mark.
Sure.
At what point do you think, and you and Linda, what point do you think that we really start uniting and standing up? Because I can't see, as we have this trickle-down tyranny that comes from the government all the way down to our county and our city, which everybody has seen. I don't think they've missed anybody. They even hit the business community, and I know they've gone after the unions too. So I don't think they've missed anybody in offending them or trying to obstruct their rights. At what point and what do we do to make people become more aware?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that people are going to become aware when the pain gets so severe that they can't ignore it, and then they'll be looking to do something about it then. And I think that's human nature to a degree. What do we do about it? We unite and we start following the Constitution.
Yes.
We start pulling together and implementing these rules, against these rules with law, with constitutional law and authority that comes from God through the Constitution. And then we'll start having a moral society, because you have to have both. You have to, in order to have liberty, you have to bind men down with the chains of law, not have, you know, I heard this morning people saying, oh, you know, we don't want it. We want government to have every aspect of our lives because we don't trust the people. Well, who do they think the people in government are? They're not people. They're robots. They're computers. What are they? No, they're people. That's why, you know, Madison said if people were angels, we wouldn't need a constitution to bind them down with. You know, that's the thing. You have to have rule of law and everybody following the law, and you have to have some kind of morals in your society. You can't have everybody running around doing everything they want, because then, you know, there's no freedom if you can't even go out your door without locking it, because you're going to get ripped off by a bunch of thieves.
And it doesn't matter who they are, what level they're at. If they're breaking the law, they need to be dealt with.
Well, that's the problem. We don't have rule of law at this point, because the people who are the rulers, our rulers are breaking the law consistently at every level.
And nothing's being done
about it. And what has to be done is the people have to rise up and stop it at every single level, starting at the local level. Does that answer your question, Terry?
It does, buddy. And, you know, when you stop and think about what Chris Ann wrote, it's pretty interesting, because if you start at that top level, I know the Willie Brown, who was the mayor of San Francisco, made a comment on CSNBC about the state of Jefferson. And this was not quite a year ago. And his comment was that the political power is passed to the urban areas where it belongs. And those people up there just need to learn to obey.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
exactly what he said. Now, here's something else I want to bring up. There was a meeting up in Siskiyou County. And Congressman LaMalfa was up there, and they were talking about that horrible fire that got out of hand because of the mismanagement of the Forest Department and all that good stuff. And Doug, you know, he was there. He was saying, yeah, you know, you guys are right, and this is atrocious what they do, but really can't do anything about it because they're under the executive branch. To me, I'm thinking there's nothing we can do about it because it's under the executive branch.
We have a king.
I would like to know. I don't understand some of these statements. I don't understand a statement such as, well, you know, these guys are breaking the rules. Harry Reid's breaking the rules. But you know what? We're going to follow the law. We are going to follow the law, and we're going to take the high road. Okay, but if Harry Reid is playing poker with you, and they have five aces, and you have four aces, and you know there's only four aces in the deck, and they have five, and you say, well, I'm taking the high road on this one. And they're saying, yeah, but I have five aces. And there's no consequences for them for cheating, just like with Hillary. No consequences for the president. No consequences. Harry Reid, no consequences. And you let them do that. You kind of wonder what the thinking is. Can you maybe help me with that one?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking we got King Julian off of Madagascar running the show up there at this point. You know, I mean, you know, he's on the golf course singing, you got to move it, you know, I mean.
But if our congressmen and our people at the higher echelon of government aren't effective, and we're finding in the counties and the city that the city councils and the board of supervisors, I'm speaking of Shasta County for the most part, are doing whatever they want and not caring what people want, but will do what they want to suit them, to suit their agenda, where do we start drawing the line?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I was kind of making a joke there, but at the same time, what I'm saying is you're seeing a microcosm of this up in Oregon, of what needs to happen is the pressure put on the locals to stop the federal government intervention, because the sheriffs and the local politicians can stop them from coming into the county. We need to start passing laws at the local level that get rid of the Clean Water Act, to get rid of the Monuments Act, to get rid of all of this overreach by the EPA and CARB. That's where we need to start, and we need a constitutional sheriff who's going to throw these SOBs out of the county. That's what needs to happen, and that's what's going to happen as time goes by and the pain hits. But right now, we got to endure the pain. I do have an update on the mining thing that I was going to try to get to today. I'm not sure we're going to have time, and we also got Charles on the other line, and so I don't want to just exclude him. And so let's get him into the conversation here a little bit for a couple of minutes, and then we can get back on track wherever you want to go, Terry.
Are you there, Charles?
Charles, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what do you have to say?
There's a fundamental difference between taking the high road and taking the high ground. And if we fail, if we confuse one with the other, we're in trouble. We need the high ground, not the high road.
Okay. Well.
Well, I mean, in the history of warfare, he who has the high ground usually has the advantage, right?
Well, right. That's true. I mean, but I think metaphorically speaking, the high road just indicates that, you know, we're doing the right thing and our morality is taking us above the fray type situation, where a high ground is more of a warfare state.
Well, when politicians say we're taking the high road, you can pretty well imagine the sound effect of a pair of scissors cutting off a certain body part.
I think that they're taking the high roads because they're highwaymen and they're blocking the road. So
right. Speaking of things that should not be happening, there's one at the national level and one at the local level that I wanted to bring up real quick. And
yeah, we're okay. Got to make it quick, Charles.
Okay,
because
yeah, I know. I'm got my watch in front of me. So yeah, the national one is that the Senate is trying to railroad fast track through the process just as quickly as possible. And you know, if you think Obama is, you know, uber trustworthy to just negotiate every good thing for, you know, to raise the dead and part the seas and, you know, bring little, you know, flowers and butterflies to us, then I'm sure you'll be in favor of fast track. But if you're not of that opinion, then you have to look at this and go and wonder why are they in all fire hurry to do this.
I think any clear thinking people are starting to realize that these guys are in an all fired hurry to take over the country and implement some kind of martial law at some point if we're not careful.
At the same time, they want to give away our national sovereignty via, among other things, the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Absolutely. Yes. Same.
So that
we become subject
to foreign interests.
Well, we end up in the same place. I mean, where they're taking us is a one-world government, you know, controlled by the UN and ultimately the international banking cartel. And that's really what this is all about. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Charles, we got to get...
We do not have as a president. What we have is Il Duce.
El Duce. I like to think...
Yeah, like the one they had in Italy.
Yeah, I remember...
And then I hope I have a second or two. Have you heard about this proposed water waste that Rocky Slaughter is planning for the city of Redding? His giant extension of the middle finger to everybody here who is having to, cut down on water usage, and yet he wants to, spend 16,000 gallons of water on a publicity stunt.
Well, I haven't heard of that one at all. We'll have to talk about that one maybe after I get some more information on it. I haven't heard of it at all, Charles.
Well, it's in the Wretched Fart Match. I mean, Wretched Searchlight. And
there's also going to be
a presentation at the city council meeting upcoming. So there's going to be more information coming out about that.
Well, listen, Charles. We'll look into it, Charles. I appreciate the call. We got to get back to Terry.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Terry, you there?
I'm here. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Rocky Slaughter is living proof that the First Amendment is alive and well. Everybody needs to have their voice.
Sure. Sure. Well, everybody.
No matter who they are.
No matter who they are. I don't know. It's getting to the point where, we talk about King Julian, anyway. So, I do have an update that I kind of want to play. It's about 5 minutes or so on the ongoing scene up at the mining and, the Sugar Pine Mining Camp with the
BLM,
the Bureau of Land Management.
I thought the latest news was that's sort of dissipating, and they're looking at doing some hearings and stuff.
Well, I got another update on it, and I don't know.
Is this
current? It's a day or so old, so it should be good. You want to go ahead and play that, Bob, or key that up? And then let's talk about that because it kind of relates to the subject matter.
Sure.
Because it goes to the fact that, can the sheriff be pressured into, being a constitutional sheriff?
And people thinking they're above the law.
And thinking they're above the law. And, can we make the government officials at the lower levels, take control of the counties and stop the federal overreach? Anyway, go ahead, Bob, and play that up.
Should a gold mine in Oregon? We'll be right back. story we've been tracking for days. The BLM is up to old tricks, this time a gold mining claim in Oregon. I reached out to Oathkeepers founder Stuart Rhodes and Mary Emmerich, the Josephine County Oathkeepers Public Information Officer, to get the facts on this edition of Breaking Point on the Next News Network. So, what do we know right now? We know the BLM is attempting to force gold miners off a plot of land they've been using for nearly 140 years. And reports have surfaced that the BLM threatened to burn down buildings on site if the miners don't vacate the claim. We also know that the independent militia from coast to coast has been called up to once again ensure that due process is upheld and to prevent the BLM assault on the miners. However, we know all too well that the government has no problem burning down buildings and avoiding due process. We saw it in Waco 22 years ago when they indiscriminately murdered women and children. We also know, according to two affidavits posted at oathkeepers.com, that while serving cease and desist orders, a BLM official only identified as Danny openly declared that he had issues with the Constitution. It's not yet confirmed if Danny is the same Dan Love from the Bundy Ranch standoff. Mary Emmerich confirmed a staging area has been set up and camp rules established to govern the arriving private security forces.
Oathkeepers of Josephine County have been asked by the miners to do private security at their mine site, and we have agreed to do this because we have a concern that their Fifth Amendment rights be protected, and that is due process. They are in the middle of a legal action, and the BLM has threatened to get them off the claim before that's decided in court. So we are on site and have a staging area as well.
She would not divulge how many people have arrived on site, but she was clear to point out the Oathkeepers' intentions.
Our intention is to not promote the standoff between a government agency and the Oathkeepers. We are trying to keep this civil and protect the miners.
Meanwhile, Sheriff David Daniels stated the BLM are not taking action at this time. And BLM Special Agent Mike Swindon also stated the BLM is standing down. However, people close to the situation are requesting that all parties interested in preserving the Constitution remain on standby because of the BLM's history of deceptive and dishonest tactics. Stuart Rhodes confirmed these facts when I spoke to him just moments ago.
Well, I think this is part of the same pattern we've seen all across the West and all across the country, where you have, whether it's farmers, miners, loggers, it's the same agenda to drive the people off the land who've been working the land for generations and deprive them of their livelihood and their independence and force them into cities. This has been the agenda for a long time. So this is just one more example of it. But, you know, the people are starting to push back, and I think that's what has to happen. We need to have nullification and unify communities standing up against things like. It's unfortunate that the sheriff so far has not taken a hard stand in defense of the rights of the miners, and that's not good, because then if the sheriff won't do it, then the people have to step in. This is what happened down at Bundy Ranch, right? You had a sheriff who, Gillespie, who was a total rollover for the feds and did not stand up for the rights of the Bundy family, and that left them no recourse but to call on their cowboy buddies and other supporters from around the country to go there. A bunch of veterans went there and support them. This is kind of similar. You know, sheriff, he said they're mediating, but, you know, he should be standing up for the rights of the miners. And BLM has a pattern in that area of the country of just burning cabins to the ground. And in fact, in the past, there have been deaths involved in that kind of activity, where they lit a cabin on fire and someone's died. So this is, the miners don't trust them, and they're concerned that BLM is just going to come in heavy-handed. So our goal is to make sure the miners have their day in court and have due process. And so our guys, you know, we haven't had a conversation yet, and that's not what we consider this, but because of the pattern of behavior in the BLM and the federal government, unfortunately, we're not going to let these people get Waco'd the same way as a Bundy Ranch. We didn't want that family to have the boot dropped on them either. So, you know, it'd be great if we lived in a country where the government respected the rights of the people and went through the process of giving them a chance to fight the legal fight before they go and do things, but that has not been the pattern. They just go seize cattle, they go burn down cabins. You know, this is the pattern of behavior. And in an environment like that, I think it's incumbent on all of us to stand up and defend our neighbors.
So if you want to stand up and defend these miners, report to the staging area that's located at 2491 Camp Joy Road at Grants Pass, Oregon, 97526. All responders and media personnel are required to check in at the staging area before going to the campsite.
So okay, that's enough, Bob. That's enough, Bob. Anyway, you get the. I think that's kind of clarifies the situation a lot more for anybody who's interested on what is actually happening. It's kind of a holding pattern, but it's nice to hear the Oath Keepers, talking with clear-minded heads to try to solve the situation instead of escalate it. Anyway, are you?
Yeah, they've been great. We've been getting the emails from Russ up there. We've been getting from their. Gentleman in command, we've been getting emails from him on this.
Good.
The thing is the BLM even constitutional? I mean,
well, that's a good
question. How is it that we've come to this place?
Well, we got 1 minute left, and I just want to say a couple of things here. How we got to this place is we let the federal government control more and more stuff. I'm looking at a bill Alaska being passed to return to state land from federal control. New Mexico is getting the governor just signed a bill to abolish civil forfeitures. So how we got here is we haven't been paying attention, we haven't been involved, and we got to get involved at the local level to start with. And this is a classic example of where we're going if we don't get involved. So,
as Thomas Jefferson said, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Absolutely. Yes. So we'll see you tomorrow night at the Tea Party. We're going to run out of time here, Terry. It's good having you on the show. And,
I want to thank all of our guests today that we've had quite a variety.
Yeah, don't forget Mark Baird tomorrow night, Tea Party, 2570 South Bonneview. And with that, I have to say it. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
And this has been KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
68 people. Bill Clinton was president.
For 20 years, you have honored the memories of your loved ones. You have inspired us with the power of your renewal. You have reminded us that we should all live by the Oklahoma standard.
About 1,000 people, along with the former president, gathering in Oklahoma City today to mark the anniversary. ISIS has released another video this morning purporting to show executions. A 29-minute video appears to show the killing of two different groups of captured Ethiopian Christians by the extremist group's Libyan affiliates. It's not clear who the captives were. Italy's Coast Guard trying to find survivors after 700 people aboard a migrant ship went down in the Mediterranean when the boat capsized overnight. There were Libyans trying to get to Italy. Coast Guard says a couple